Well, I'm excited today because we get to continue a series that we started last week. We're calling it Your Best Year Yet. Because there are so many things in life that are outside of our control. We know that. We could make the list. But there are certain things that we get to make a decision. We get to make a choice. Last week we talked about choosing forgiveness over bitterness. And this week we're going to talk about choosing worship over worry. Say that with me. Worship over worry. We have the opportunity to make this decision. And let's just be honest. There are so many things in this broken world that we could be worried about. Things that might happen, things that have happened, things that could happen, the what ifs. We could worry about that all the time. But we want to make a different choice this year. Why? Because it's going to lead us to the life that God has designed us for and created us for. So that's what we want to talk about today. Because I don't know about you, but maybe you've even done this before. You open your phone and you're just going to check something real quick. And then before you know it, you're about 20 minutes into headlines, one after another. And by the time you're done, you just kind of feel like the whole world is falling apart. You got the social media videos, and it's video after video, and you're just kind of scrolling, and it's before you're done, it's like, okay, the sky's falling pretty much. And maybe it's not. In fact, there's even a term for this. Do you guys know this? Yeah, what a smart audience today. What a smart church. Listen, they call it doom scrolling because it does. It just makes you feel all doom and gloom. And it doesn't have to be on your phone. It doesn't have to be social media. Maybe it's you sit down to just watch the news for a minute. And 6 hours later, you're like, we need to run for the hills. You know, it just makes you feel like everything is falling apart. We begin to consume negative media to the point that it consumes us. We doom scroll. We worry. We stress. But here's the truth. Worry doesn't work. Say that with me. Worry doesn't work. I'm not sure if you believe it yet. Say it again. Worry doesn't work. I know some of you, you're already pushing back, but worry doesn't work. And God doesn't intend that for us. So today what we're going to look at is what does he intend for us? He intends for us to place our trust in him. And what is that trust in? It's in this. God meets daily needs daily. Go ahead and say that with me. God meets daily needs daily. Because I don't know about you, but I really sometimes wish that God met daily needs yearly. Wouldn't that be good? Just, you know, January 1st, God gives you all the provision, and so you know without a shadow of a doubt that for the rest of the year, no matter what comes, you're going to have everything that you need. But there's a problem with that, because we don't trust in him. We would just place our trust in ourselves. God meets daily needs, but he does so daily. Jesus offers a better way. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 6. And I do hope that you have your Bibles. I hope that you brought them with you, the one that you're familiar with, the one that you've been reading every day this week. Listen, it's so important to be in the Word on a daily basis. And so Matthew chapter 6, and if you're new to the Bible, awesome. So glad that you're here. Matthew is the first book in the New Testament. If you open up your Bible, it's kind of right in the middle. You can find it. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he could have been addressing anything, but on this particular occasion, he chooses to hit worry head on. Look at his words recorded by Matthew. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, or what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. Do they not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them? Are you not much more valuable than they? And then Jesus asks this question: can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And of course, the answer is no. I recently discovered a guy named Brian Johnson. I don't know if you've ever heard of Brian. He has a Netflix documentary. It's called Don't Die. Okay, he has like dedicated his entire life's purpose to trying to live forever. And so he's a tech millionaire. He spent millions of dollars on this. He has over 30 doctors. According to the New York Post, he takes 111 supplements every day to slow down the aging process. he measures everything. He measures his diet. He measures his brain waves, his heart. He's doing everything that he can to control the outcome of tomorrow. But Jesus asks this question: can anyone add an hour to their life? The truth is, no. No, we can't. There's no amount of worry that we can have today that will cause us to live any longer. But worry can steal the time that we have right here, right now, today. Now, Jesus was not saying, don't think about tomorrow. You know, you're here at the first of the year. I hope you're thinking about taking care of your health. I hope you're thinking about taking care of your finances, managing God's finances his way. I hope you're thinking about that and understanding that all of our actions today have impact tomorrow. Jesus wasn't saying, don't think about the future. He was saying, don't obsess about the future. Don't obsess about the future to the point that we're becoming consumed by tomorrow. Because God has called us to live in today. Now, Jesus' disciples weren't the only ones who would come to understand this. Long before that, if you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, I want you to turn to Exodus 16. Because God is teaching this lesson to his chosen people, the Israelites, whom God sent Moses and Aaron to bring them out of Egypt. And you would think they would be so grateful for their newfound freedom. But that's not exactly what happened. Here's what happened. Exodus 16. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted, but you have brought us into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. Can you imagine being Moses and Aaron? Can you imagine leading this group of people that all they did was grumbled and complained? And on top of that, wait a second. Weren't these the people that just saw the Red Sea part before them and walk on dry land? I mean, if anybody would understand the power and the provision of God, it would have been these people. And yet this is just about 2.5 months in, and they're talking about Egypt like it's some all-inclusive resort. How quickly they forgot, how quickly we forget that God is providing, that he is meeting our needs day by day, moment by moment. God meets daily needs daily. All they saw were the problems, and God saw provision. He continues, then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. God would give them daily bread. He would give them daily manna. Why? Because he wanted them to learn to seek him and trust him for that day. You know, when my kids were young, they would ask me a question sometimes like, Dad, what are we having for dinner tonight? They would typically ask that while we were still eating breakfast. And I would say, hey, don't worry about it. I've got it handled. Which, let's be honest, that was total nonsense. I had no idea what we were having for dinner. I was as surprised as they were. But I did know this. I did know that Alicia had it handled. and that she had a plan. Hey, I knew that there was food in the house, but she had a plan, and so I didn't worry. Here's the point. God has tomorrow handled. And I know you're like me. You've tried to look in tomorrow. And sometimes all that does is it just causes us to worry. But God has tomorrow handled. And unlike me, he actually has a plan. So what about us? How can we plan? What kind of plan could we have to choose worship over worry? I'll say it again. I really do hope that you are in the Word every day. But when we come together, what we want to do is we want to give some handles to God's Word, and we want to create a plan. What are some things that we can do, some steps that we can take right here, right now, to make a decision to begin choosing worship over worry? Here's a few things that you can do. Number one, choose to pray more. Now, I know that one seems pretty obvious, but think about this. When you're praying, you're typically not worrying. And let's be honest, when you're worrying, you're typically not praying. Remember the words of the Apostle Paul. He said this, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in," what's that next word? Everything. Okay, I was just making sure it wasn't like some or most. No, pretty sure in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. The Apostle Paul, he is urging us to pray more. Think about it. What if this year, what if that's what we did? What if when trouble comes, and it will, the temptation to worry comes, and it will, what if we turn to God first? What if we shifted our focus away from the problems to the one who has the solution? What difference would that make this year? How would that help us have our best year yet? To pray more. And you know what happens when you pray more? You worry less. And now, I want to encourage you, as you pray, I want to encourage you, thank God for your daily bread. Thank God. Be aware of the provision that he's given you this day. And here's why I encourage you to do that. Because that's not what I've done a lot of times. Yeah, I've prayed more, but my prayers a lot of times were not, "God, show me your provision for today." It was, "God, show me your provision for tomorrow. Show me your provision for this month. God, show me the future that you have for us this year." Maybe you're not wired like that. I am. This is a real struggle for me. And God says, "Be aware of my provision today." Because here's the thing. It may sound really spiritual to pray about, "God, show me the future," but what's that really all about? Well, it's really all about me just wanting to control. Because then I don't have to trust in God. If I know what's coming, if I knew the provision, then I wouldn't have to trust in him day by day, moment by moment. And so we want to pray more so we can worry less. And you know what happens when that happens? We tend to want less. Think about what the psalmist tells us in Psalm 23, verse 1. You're probably pretty familiar with this. "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." What does that mean? It means I lack nothing. I want for nothing because the good shepherd is all that I need. What he gives me this day is enough. Want less. I mean, think about it. A lot of our worry, it doesn't come from the things that we need. A lot of it comes from the things that we want. And so yet again, the Apostle Paul, he would encourage us, be content in every circumstance. Because when you want less, You worry less. The third step to our plan is to live for today. Now, I don't mean this like, live for today, like you only live once, kind of, woohoo, you know, tomorrow. No, this is a little different. This is live in the moment today. Live in the present today, because God is providing for you today. Remember the words of Jesus. He said, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So live in the moment today. Be grateful for what God has given you. Say, God, what you've given me is enough. Live for today. Why? Because God meets daily needs. What? Daily. I don't know how this plays out in your life. This is the way it plays out in my life a lot of times. Is I can find things to worry about. And sometimes they seem small, but then they really start to add up. And I don't know what it is for you right now, but for some of you, you're like I've been in the past. It's been the weight of worry around financial stress. Am I going to be able to pay the bills at the end of the month? Are we going to have enough? Am I going to lose my job? Is the car going to break down? I know I need that surgery, but the insurance said they weren't going to pay for it. It's financial stress. And then sometimes it's health concerns. Maybe for some of you, it's the weight that you're carrying right now. It's those test results that you're waiting for right now. It's the diagnosis that you got. You're waiting to hear, is it going to be good news? Is it going to be bad news? Am I going to be able to do what I could do before? Is my body going to work the way that it's supposed to? It's the weight of health concerns, and it adds up. For some, it's the weight of relationship. It's a strained marriage, a distant friendship. It's the what if. What if we never reconcile? What if this doesn't work? And it just adds up. This is a big one for me. I don't know about for you, but this one here, this one is worry about the unknown, the future. Is the future going to turn out the way I planned it? Oh, and this one sounds really spiritual. God, I don't want to miss your plan for my future. That sounds spiritual, right? It's just about my control. It's really just about my lack of trust when that's exactly what God is calling me to. What about the future? You just throw it in there. And then this one. Well, I don't know what this one is, but you do. What is it that you're worried about right now? What is your what if? You take the weight and you throw it in here and you got the weight of all the what ifs. And this all adds up. And what do? We take it all and we just put it on our back. That's actually pretty heavy. Don't you wish we could see it? If we could see it, we might do something about it, but you can't see it. You can just feel it. You can feel it because you're going through life and it just feels like every step is just a little bit harder than it should be. And every day feels a little bit heavier than it should. And you're just not as patient with people around you as you should be. You're a little more irritable. You're not kind to the people who you're closest to, the people who love you the most. And you don't know why, but you just feel tired and maybe a little more irritable than usual. And you just know you feel it. I want you to know that Jesus never intended for us to carry this kind of weight. In fact, this is exactly what Jesus intended for us. He said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Friend, if you are carrying the weight of worry, it is a burden you were not designed for. Jesus promises a better way. In fact, he went to a cross and he was crucified so that every sin, every transgression, every failure would be cast, as scripture says, as far as the east is from the west. And because he died on that cross, we can be forgiven of our sin. And on top of that, the cross is the place that we can bring the weight of worry. And we have a decision to make. You have a decision to make. Not a decision for this year, not a decision for this week, a decision for right now. Am I going to continue to carry the weight of worry? Or am I going to bring it to the cross? The place where Jesus not only died for my sins, but he gave me a place to lay down the burden. Friend, this is what it means to choose worship over worry. Because when you lay your burdens down at the cross, you are saying, God, I trust you. You're saying, I trust you not only to forgive me, I trust you to secure my future. I trust you with today. I trust you with tomorrow, whatever comes. I trust that God meets daily needs. When? Daily. You do not have, and I do not have, the wisdom for tomorrow's problems. But I will tomorrow. I do not have the resources, and you do not, I don't care how much money you have in your bank account, you do not have the resources for tomorrow's challenges. But you will tomorrow. God gives us what we need when we need it, day by day, moment by moment. Jesus taught us how to pray. He said, give us this day our yearly bread. Give us this day our daily bread. God meets daily needs daily. He did then, still does, and he will for you. The question is, will we trust him? Remember the words of Jesus? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. We want to give every person an opportunity to declare, maybe for the first time, maybe for the first time in a long time, surrender your heart to Jesus, to place your full trust and your faith in him. Like my friend Joe last week, to say, I want this year to be different. And I believe that Jesus is the way to different. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. If that's you today, then we want to give you an opportunity to confess that. We're going to pray a prayer together, and then after we do, if this is your day and you're making that decision for the first time or the first time in a long time, we want to invite you just to stand where you are, because we want to celebrate with you. Can we pray together? Jesus, I am not perfect, for I have sinned, but I believe in you. Save me, change me, forgive me. I give you my life. In the name of Jesus, I pray.